Long simmering tensions between local taxi companies and Uber and Lyft drivers erupted again. It's over a pilot project that allows the ride-sharing companies to pick up and drop off passengers at the Honolulu Airport. The state quietly extended the program until September, and yesterday was really the first time taxi and limousine drivers had a chance to vent before the Small Business Regulatory Review Board. Our producer, Ryan Finnerty, was there and joins us this morning.
Morning, Catherine.
So what's this board all about?
So, Catherine, this is the Small Business Regulatory Review Board, and if you've never heard of it, you could be forgiven. it's a board of current and former business owners. They were represented by all counties, and they're appointed by the governor. And basically, their function is to represent the interests of small businesses when the government, the state government, is coming up with regulation, make sure that any kind of costs to a small business impositions from this regulation are identified so that the state can address them before there is a big burden placed on local small businesses.
Yeah, and this whole issue has really been pretty touchy.
Yeah, I mean, this has been across the country. I mean, in New York City, there was a cab driver who recently committed suicide in front of City Hall and blamed Uber and Lyft for running him out of business. So this is not unique to Hawaii. And so Uber and Lyft have been in Honolulu for a while now, but they haven't been allowed to pick up passengers at the airport. You could drop passengers off, but not pick up. And Honolulu was the last of the top 50 American airports that did not have this kind of service. So this pilot project was meant to sort of bring us on par with the rest of the country. And it was rolled out by the Department of Transportation. And here's Deputy Attorney General John Price explaining the program.
To get a permit to pick up passengers at the airport, the rules required that a business have either a Public Utility Commission license or authorization from an appropriate governmental agency. And that basically meant a taxi cab operator's authority from the city and county. A little over a year ago, the city and county recognized a new type of transportation service called the Transportation Network Company, TNC. So we're proposing to modify the rules to account for this new authorized type of ground transportation to be able to get permits and serve the public at the airport. We expect the TNCs to follow essentially all the same rules. The only real difference is their logo or what they call trade dress, where it says right on the car, you know, what company it is, will suffice rather than a numbered decal that's being used now.
So, Catherine, you're going to hear a lot of bureaucratic speak coming in some of these clips. The first was TNC, Transportation Network Company. That's basically what Uber and Lyft are. They're electronic dispatch companies. So they don't own and operate their own vehicles. They're just a network by which a consumer can get transportation. And you heard there from John Price, Deputy Attorney General, that ostensibly they're under the same regulations and restrictions that traditional cab companies are. But according to the operators of limousine services and taxi companies, that's not actually true. And this is Arthur Hughes, who we're going to hear next. He's the owner of Island Limousine. They've been in business for about 3 years. And he works almost exclusively at the Honolulu International Airport. And he partnered with Uber early on when Uber was not allowed to pick up passengers at the airport. And so they used his drivers and his vehicles ordered through Uber. But Arthur says now, under this pilot program, Uber doesn't need him anymore, and he's seen a huge decline in his business.
Yes, I represent the forgotten commercial drivers that partnered with Uber. Basically, we've been picking up at the airport since Uber began. From the pilot program, we're operating at 17% of our normal airport gross. When Uber first came to Hawaii, they partnered with us. We've been basically ravaged and thrown under the bus. We were completely forgot about. My business is, you know, hanging by a thread. I have 5 drivers left. We had 11 at one time. I'm the small business that's getting affected. The way they weaseled in the airport with the pilot program, there's no demand now for, and I have too much overhead with commercial insurance and following the rules. I'm getting stepped on by, you know, billion-dollar companies.
So, Catherine, you heard there, that's a local business that's been really negatively impacted by this pilot program, and it's only been going on for a few months now. And he's Arthur said he's on the verge of going out of business. They're going to try and make it through the end of this pilot program, but the future of that company is really very much in doubt. And that reality was contrasted by how Uber views the market. And Tabitha Chow is Uber's senior operations manager here in Hawaii, and she was present at the meeting yesterday. And she told the board that the presence of transportation network companies like Uber and Lyft can actually encourage more people to pay for a ride to the airport than rather than getting a ride from friends or family.
What we see is that, and just the service in general, is that it's not, you know, there's a set number of people who need transportation. What we see is that it actually grows the pie. And so there are people who are finding new use cases to use Uber. And so you may, in Hawaii, Uber is, for an UberX, it's typically about 40% cheaper than a taxi. And so what you'll find is that instead of having your family member drop you off at the airport and pick you up from the airport, it may make more sense to maybe take an Uber from the airport. And so these are not, you know, taking directly away from one business or another.
It's interesting because this has been a very contentious issue, and I know the state at one time was even arresting people at the airport.
Yeah, that's right, Catherine, and that's sort of what this program was meant to address. There were a few arrests last year for picking up. We should remind listeners that it's always been okay to drop off at the airport, and so this is a pickup program. And part of the problem, as identified by cab operators, is that the pilot program was just a little bit rushed. They feel like some of the regulations that they have to comply with, Uber and Lyft don't have to, that they've basically been given a special deal or a sweetheart deal by the State Department of Transportation to get them in the door. And the state's response to that was, well, this is just an experiment. It's short term. We just want to see what's going to happen and is there a demand for this service? But by extending the program an additional 6 months, they've kind of raised some fears on the part of traditional operators that this could become a more permanent thing without additional regulation. And so we heard earlier Arthur Hughes talking about how his business has been devastated by this pilot program. That's not the case for every cab operator, because Arthur's company, Island Limousine, does most of their business at the airport. And you heard in that last clip, Tabitha Chow with Uber in Hawaii say that on average, an Uber ride in Honolulu is 40% cheaper than a traditional taxi. And that may be because Uber doesn't actually make any money. They operate at a loss every year. And in 2017, they lost $4.5 billion. And they can do that because they have a ton of venture capital money coming in. And Lyft is also not yet profitable. In 2016, they lost $600 million. They're much smaller than Uber, so the losses in revenues aren't quite as large as Uber's. But neither company is publicly traded, so the financials of both firms are not entirely transparent.
So who else did you talk to?
So we also talked to David Jung, who's the general manager of EcoCab, another cab company here, and he addresses this claim that Uber is basically able to operate at a loss and undercut cab companies that need to make a profit and run them out of business.
The taxi industry and the PUC industry has been decimated. And why? Uber lost $4.5 billion last year. And in their 9 years of existence, they've lost over $10 billion. Every year they've lost a billion, except last year they lost $4.5 billion. Let me ask you, how many businesses can operate at a $1 billion loss for 9 years? And why would they do that? Why would they do that? Why would they lose $1 billion every year and still claim that they're 40% lower than the taxis? Because they are 40% lower most of the time, unless they decide to surge. But they're losing billions of dollars. And there's only one reason to do that. It's to destroy us. So to answer your question, it's very difficult to battle a $72 billion company for us local folks when they have a war chest where they can burn through $4.5 billion in a year.
So, Catherine, that's one of the major charges leveled by cab operators, and that's not related to this pilot program, that's just sort of Uber and Lyft's operating model. They flood the market. They're cheaper. They have a product that's in demand, and local companies that are smaller and have tighter margins are kind of have to compete with them. But there were some other issues raised, too, specific to this pilot program and their operations here in Hawaii. One of them was insurance. Uber and Lyft have an insurance plan where they basically only have to cover drivers while the driver is on the road with the app turned on, whereas traditional cab companies have to pay 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, pay for insurance over 24 hours a day. The decals were also an issue. And here's David Jung again talking about some of the additional regulations that Uber and Lyft don't have to comply with.
I have like 30 vehicles. And each one of those 30 vehicles will probably take 10, 15 man hours to get the proper permitting. Why? Because I have to get the insurance. All the drivers have to get their 24-hour, never-turn-off insurance. We have to make sure that all the registration, inspection, everything is in order. And then I have to actually go to the airport when they tell us to, because we don't dictate anything. They tell us, come, at a certain time. So we all got to line up, and then when we go to the line, they put the stickers on us. We can't even put our own sticker on.
And so, Catherine, the rationale for this is that Uber and Lyft don't actually own those vehicles. The independent contractors, the drivers do, and so it's those drivers who are responsible for complying with those regulations. And Uber did say at the meeting that they provide a packet of information with how their drivers need to comply, but they don't actually ensure that the drivers do it. That's left up to the state or the city to do that. The last major point of contention was the fee that any commercial vehicle operator has to pay to pick someone up at the airport, at Daniel K. Inouye International Airport. For these prearranged taxi services, which Uber and Lyft are counted under, it's 7% of the fare per pickup is what every cab, Uber driver, or Lyft driver has to pay. Now, for traditional taxi cabs, they have to have a transponder, a state DOT-issued transponder installed on their vehicle that tracks when they come and go from the airport for auditing purposes. The reporting is on the honor system. It's self-reported, so each company has to tell the state how much they owe. The same is true for Uber and Lyft. They self-report, but they don't need to use the transponder. The state has allowed them to use the GPS service that's part of their app. For anyone who's used Uber and Lyft, it's very familiar. It shows you where all the cars are. And that has sufficed in lieu of the transponder. Cab companies say this is unfair. They have to pay to install the transponder, and they further allege that there's no transparency. If Uber and Lyft don't want to turn over their records to the state, that the state wouldn't be able to get them. Uber's operations manager in Honolulu, Tabitha Chow, disputed that, and here's what she had to say.
We do actually have a very robust data system, and we have information down to the latitude-longitude coordinates of where the ride was requested, where it was actually picked up, where the trip ended. We have a lot of information on every trip that happens, and so what we do is we report out the number of trips that have happened, as well as the 7%, which we have paid every month since December 1st. For all trips that have occurred at the airport. And I think the difference is with the transponders, that was to solve a problem because the technology did not exist yet for what we have today. And so it sort of makes transponders not needed in this case. And then also to paying the 7%, and right, heard something about, you know, the honor system being used here. And so we do allow there's audit provisions as well, and so if the airport needs to verify our numbers, that is absolutely something that we're willing to do.
Interesting point of view. So what happens now, Ryan?
So, Catherine, the board decided to defer a decision on this matter for 1 month. If they had approved it, it would have gone to public comment for the broader population to give feedback on. Because of all the concerns addressed by cab companies, The board has given the state DOT and the Attorney General's office 1 month, so until their next meeting, to address how these concerns will be changed in a more permanent law because this is just a pilot program. And so they'll meet again next month in May, and hopefully they'll be able to address some of the concerns that were raised by the local business owners. And the board was sympathetic by the end of testimony. So we'll keep watching it and see what happens. But I think it's safe to say Uber and Lyft are not going away.
Right. Okay. All right. Thanks, Ryan. We'll keep tracking this very contentious issue.